I'm here today to talk to you about Octo 8. Octo 8 has been running for a while now. It was started in 2014 to provide a series of military simulation games. It was the brainchild of Josh Smith, owner of Gunman Airsoft. Josh is the mastermind behind many Airsoft and LARP concepts, and today these are played out across four sites, all within about 2 hours' drive of London. Octo 8 was conceived to provide an immersive military simulation game with a high degree of roleplay and storyline background. The name itself is quite important. Octo 8 reflects the nature of the game, which is delivered in 8-hour bursts. Typically over a weekend, this means 2 8-hour games, 16 hours in total. The fact that the game doesn't run through the night is quite deliberate. Saturday evening is used to socialise, and there's a strong community bond amongst Octo 8 players. The game has a modern time setting. It's set very much in the now, and in terms of the loadouts for the players, we have a high loadout quality expectation. So for example, with NATO, we expect NATO to wear MTP, multicam, and the kind of equipment you'd expect a NATO soldier to carry. Insurgents obviously is a little bit more lax, but in terms of weapons and just general appearance, we ask that the players try to portray the people they're trying to be. This gives a much more realistic impression. It's more immersive, and you know, we don't really go with the green versus tan approach that some companies use. We ask that factions do make the effort. I mean, obviously, if you don't have an expensive loadout with all the NATO equipment, that's fine. There are usually at least 3 factions in every game, and each faction is different, and they're designed to accommodate different types of players with different types of equipment loadout. The storylines we use are realistic. The latest story we have, Bad to the Bone, has a mixture of enforcement and insurgent factions. And this is a deliberate attempt to mirror the asymmetrical warfare nature of today's battles. As we've said, each day is 8 hours in theatre. We discourage players leaving the AO in that time unless it's for an emergency. The tempo of the game is quite fast. Many modern warfare engagements are short, many of them less than 8 hours. We tend to avoid prolonged snagging, for example, but it's by no means a skirmish. Octo is a very tactical game. Not every player wants to make decisions, and natural leaders do tend to emerge. It doesn't really matter. There is room in Octo for those who want to lead, and those who just want to partake in the resultant action. There's basically space for everybody. However, you do need to be careful, because the decisions that you take can really have an effect. For example, if you choose to attack something or execute somebody, this can have a knock-on effect, which maybe will bite you in the backside further down the line. So tactics need to be very, very carefully considered. Another thing I wanted to talk about was our medic rules. We abide by the sort of general airsoft medic rules, but we have a few twists to liven it up. So for example, if you're hit in the arm, it doesn't actually mean you're out of the game. It just means that as you get in real life, if you're hit in the arm, you can't actually use that arm. If you're hit in the leg, you can't actually walk on that leg. So it's possible to actually stay in the game, but obviously you have to work around it. So with the arm, for example, you have to learn to shoot with the other arm. If you're hit in the leg, you obviously can't move, so you have to stay put and try to defend yourself the best you can until you're rescued by your fellow players. Similarly, headshots and hits in the main core of the body tend to be terminal, and that normally results in a walk back to the regen. Our game for 2021 is Operation Scimitar. This is set in North Africa, and the original first part of that game was supposed to happen at the end of last year, but because of lockdown and COVID, it actually now won't happen until April. So the episode one, if you like, of Operation Scimitar will be in April, and we plan to have Operation Scimitar 2 in July, and there may well be a third episode as well. As I say, it's set in North Africa. The story is basically of a breakaway nation called the Tizits, who live in North Africa, and they're trying to break away from the ruling class, if you like, of that country, mainly because of the oil they have under their feet. And this is being supported by NATO, by the Americans. And the game is really written around this play out between NATO, the Tizzit freedom fighters, and also there's a PMC company involved called Phoenix, and they are being paid by a local warlord to use a nerve gas on the Tizzits to try and get them off the land. So there's a sort of three-way struggle really going on, and we're quite excited about this because I think it will be a very good game, and the different insurgents and different factions involved will really add a few twists and spills along the way. We are using airsoft as the main vehicle for this, but another aspect of it is the role play that goes on. Typically in our games, and now we've had, well, since 2014, I've actually lost count of the number of games we've had, but if you think possibly three or four games each year, that's quite a lot of games that have already occurred. And typically in each one, we have role players, civilian role players, and these are predominantly role play actors that whose main purpose in life in our games is to keep the players entertained, to provide storyline and background. And it's sometimes a little bit off-putting when you're walking around and you're in the game, you're a player, and suddenly you come up, you know, you meet a woodcutter or someone in your path, and they will actually start talking to you in character. And this could be a little bit off-putting at first, but once you get used to it, actually, it's quite good fun. And very often they have a specific purpose. Sometimes they're carrying booby traps. Sometimes they have information they want to impart. And if you say the right things to them, they will actually tell you what you need to know or what will help you in the game. Conversely, if you upset them, roughly treat them, they can withhold information. So they are quite key to the story and quite an integral part of what goes on. And the players tell us that's all part of the fun. Another thing I wanted to talk about was how the players engage with the game. And what I mean by that really is some of them will come to the game, they'll play for 8 hours, and then some of them will go home if they live locally. Some will even go to a hotel. But a lot of them actually will enter into the spirit of the game and they will camp out all weekend. Now, some players will just have conventional camping type tents, but others really get into it and they come with their bivvies and they will actually treat the game as if they're actually in-game all weekend. Although the game only lasts for 16 hours effectively, many will turn up on the Friday afternoon, pitch their bivvies, their bashes, and they will actually live like that as if they're actually in a war theatre, a battle theatre, all weekend from Friday afternoon right the way through to the Sunday index. So that's really about 48 hours. Obviously, in summer, it's a little bit more pleasant, but some really, really get off on that and really enjoy that part of it, and so that's part of the game for them. The fact they're only playing for some of that period is irrelevant. They use the other free time to maintain equipment, conduct their admin, cook, and banter and socialise with the others. So it's all part of the experience. And I think having now done a few of these, a lot of people actually see them as a weekend away. It's a way really of getting away from the everyday stresses of work and modern life and actually going to live in the woods for a weekend and playing at something that you're not normally doing during your day job. It's escapism. We get people from all different ages. We've had obviously youngish people, sort of 18 is the youngest age we can accept, but we've also had people in their 50s, 60s. There's not really a requirement that's age related. It just depends on imagination, and you can get into it or as deeply as you want. If you want to run around like a lunatic all weekend, that's fine. If you're a bit older and a bit slower, there are ways of actually still doing the game without being really, really top fit and running around all the time. So there's something for everybody, and we find that the different age groups actually work quite well, and they bring a combination of enthusiasm, energy, but also experience to the game. So it works and blends quite well. The fact that we have these games typically every 3 to 4 months gives players the chance to get themselves prepared. I mean, we have some players who actually don't really do airsoft in any other way. They purely reserve themselves for these games. So they play the 3 to 4 games a year. And in between that, they will work on their loadouts, save their money to buy I knew this or I knew that, and typically prepare themselves for the next game. I mean, one thing we do is we don't just say, well, okay, that's the end of the game, game's finished, we'll see you in 3 months. We do actually continue on between games. We have very active Facebook pages and groups, and the story never really stops. The story is always twisted and turning, so you can kind of follow that if you're interested in following that. And people still keep within the community and engage with each other all the way through. So it's a bit like a club. Once you're in, you don't really join out. You know, you basically stay there, and you just keep in touch with the others, and you know. Talk with the others about what you're going to buy, what you're going to have, how you're going to load out, what the tactics will be at the next game. It's pretty much a sort of a 24/7 enterprise. I mean, if you're interested in these games, the best thing really is to go to look on our Facebook page Octo8, which will give you sort of an overview of what we're doing. We actually have two pages. We have Octo8. And we have Bad to the Bone, and they're slightly different in their approach. We also have a community group, which is called Octo 8 Kill Club, which is for players that have either deposited to play at a next game or they've already played a game. So once you've played a game, you get admission to this group. And also we have individual faction secret groups. So if you're playing, for example, with NATO, you will be in a group with your other NATO colleagues, and buddies, and you can talk to them about what the game's going to do and what the plan is without the other factions knowing what you're discussing. So there's a degree of secrecy to that, and each faction has a group in that way. So all in all, there's something for everybody. But the games, say, every 3 or 4 months, they go up on the website. So if you want to book, then you're required to pay a deposit, but you can book your place, and the places go relatively quick because most people repeat book. So once one game finishes, they'll immediately book onto the next game. So it's probably not a good idea to leave it for too long. But that's the way. Pay your deposit online. You obviously get a receipt, and then you pay the balance when you turn up on the weekend. If you have any questions about anything I've said or Octo8 generally, just drop us a line on the, you can send us an email on our email, which is octo8milsim@gmail.com. Or probably better and quicker is just to send us a message through our Facebook page, and we'll reply pretty quickly to you. But thank you very much for listening, and we hope to see you at our games. Thank you.